Welcome in, everybody, to a late night edition of 410 Sports Talk. I'm James Haskell, along with my co-host Glenn Martin, and we are here to talk about the Baltimore Ravens preseason week or preseason game one victory. Yep. The streak lives on, 24-0.
24 straight, baby.
That's right. Let me make sure I get this score right. 2019, the Ravens beat the Eagles. It's funny because I feel like there's a lot to talk about, but also still have a lot of questions unanswered. But I know you got a ton of notes. I got a ton of notes. How you figure we want to do this? We want to go through this kind of chronologically, just break down the notes and give our thoughts.
Yeah, it's probably the easiest way to do it. Just kind of go down the list, talk about who played, who didn't, and then just go down, start going down the line. But I think this was a good kind of experience for the Ravens to play this team. Kind of how the game situation went, I think, was good for the Ravens. We kind of saw everything you would see in an impossible game situation. You saw your 2-minute drill. You saw your 4-minute drill. You saw your offense backed up. You saw your defense getting the ball. Getting put in tough position by opposing offense. You just saw it seemed like every scenario played out. So it was overall, I think, a good. Also, like to see Marcus Mariota, a guy who's started how many games in this league, kind of test those young guys with the second team defense. So it was a fun preseason game.
Yeah, for sure. That's actually one of my notes. It's not even fair preseason one to come out and have to play against Marcus Mariota.
Like, how many starts has this guy had in the league?
Yeah, we're talking about a former high pick, Heisman Trophy winner.
Second overall.
Yeah, had like you said, ton of starts, ton of experience. And great. Now we got to play Mark. Like, yeah, that's a bummer. I'll tell you what,
I'm sure coach was happy.
Absolutely. I'll say the other thing too, dude, the Eagles are deep.
Yeah, man.
That running back room is deep. They got Rashad Penny and who was the other dude running it?
I know Penny was running well, man.
Yeah, but they had another vet back there. I was like, the kid from Detroit. What was his name? Swift.
Oh, DeAndre Swift. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Trey Sermon was running well too. To Mitty's point, I still remember Trey Sermon as Ohio State breaking every tackle, just guys bouncing off of him. I guess before we go any further, we'll get into Sean's point here. And man, it's a tough night for Mr. Prochet. Sean says positives, Mitchell, Huntley, Ryan. Negatives, Prochet. Yeah, I mean.
Wait, Ryan, who am I missing?
The receiver, but I mean, yeah, he had a really Sean Ryan. He had four. He led our team in catches.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I was thinking first name, but yeah,
James Prochet. He didn't have the best game. I think that's
how do you get it slapped out of your hand? Just got clean slapped. It wasn't even helmet contact. It wasn't just
that's like the worst type of fumble. Like you're still standing. You're fine. The ball just got ripped out of your arm.
That'd be like me walking past my son.
Yeah.
And just really? Like, really? Like, how humiliating is that? That sucks. She's gone. My wife was right next to me. I was like, yeah, he's cut.
I mean, he also, by the way, had 3 targets on the day for a grand total of 1 reception for -1 yards.
You know who James Prochet is, though? He's Andy Bernard, dude.
He's Nard Dog?
He just finds a way to never get fired.
Oh, no. I feel bad even saying because it's not like I'm like excited, but he's definitely not going to make this team. There's no chance.
Yeah. I mean, if there was any sort of competition between him and Tylan Wallace, Tylan had a nice catch tonight.
Hands grab. Mm-hmm. All hands, baby. What's going on, DK? Appreciate you joining us. Nick Robe says, enough of the SMU players. Stevens and Prochet equals trash. You know what? Let me just say this, okay? Because, yeah, Stevens gave up the back shoulder at the 2-yard line that they scored on the following play.
Yeah.
And he was targeted a handful of times.
Yep.
But every corner is going to give up. It's not like we expect these guys. Like, we can't start expecting these guys to be perfect. And a back shoulder catch isn't necessarily the easiest thing to defend against as a corner. To give him a little bit of credit, right, Jimbo?
Yeah, 100%. I mean,
there it is.
Dang it up. Hey, I went 4 minutes and 45 seconds. That was longer than last time. It was a minute and 11 seconds.
Yep.
And I said 100%. All right, so what I was going to say, though, is that it was funny. My nephew, we were talking on the phone. He's like, dude, Brandon Steve's getting cooked a little bit. And he was definitely getting picked on. And the guy, but you, like you said, a few of the catches that were made on him, great catches.
Yeah.
I don't think he was ever just blatantly out of position. I think he also had some nice plays. I can think of one PBU where the offensive player really wanted a call there because Brandon was a little handsy. But look, that's how he plays.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was up and down. I don't think it was as drastically bad as people are making it out to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're gonna get targets.
But
I mean, he could have played better. The problem with Brandon Stevens, he struggles to find the ball when it's in the air. But I don't know if that's ever going to get better.
Which
for
is
him.
Crazy because he had a ton of interceptions in college. In one year, he had something crazy like 9.
Did he really?
He had a lot of interceptions in college. But I can't deny what you're saying either. So it's a conundrum. It's something that he's got to figure out. But I want to skip real quick because I want to change my focus on a different player because I was a bit disappointed tonight by number 90.
Yeah, man.
Everyone talked about the explosion, the athleticism. I didn't see any explosion. I didn't see any strength. I didn't see much athleticism, and I didn't see much elusivity.
I'm not ready to, hit the panic button or anything crazy. Like, I don't think either of us are there.
I'm there.
You're there?
I'm there, Glenn. I was less concerned about him than Odafe, and now I'm leaning on Odafe Owe, Mr. Zero Sacks.
Dude, we can't keep calling him that. He's had some in the league now. All right? He can't be. But look, to your point, surprisingly,
ledge, dude.
Ajabo's the only guy who I would have thought is like a fringe starter who actually started. Like no one else on defense of really any certainty of a starting role played. And to your point, the only thing I saw was negative plays. Yeah. Just to be honest, like the one on 3rd and 13. He tries to I think it was a spin move inside, completely gives up contain, and Mariota scrambles for a huge gain on 3rd and 13. And on the very following play, he does it again and gives up contain to the running back who has a huge run. So all huge I saw problem. From him is a guy. I didn't see that burst, like you said. I didn't see the quickness. I didn't see
because you thought coming off of like backup, like playing against backups, if he's supposed to be your starter week one. In our head, right? If you're playing against a backup, athletically speaking, if you do nothing, and you should be able to get off the ball and get a step on every single guy in front of you who's a second, third, four-string tackle in this league, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I at least want to see that.
I didn't see him. I didn't see the quickness. I didn't see the hand strength.
Yeah.
And look, it's early, so I'm not quite where you're at, but man, that was kind of disappointing. I mean, so I guess my next question is how quickly do you think we'll see Jadeveon Clowney and or Kyle Van Noy in the building?
I mean, call it in, boys. Like
both of them.
Yeah, bring them in. We need reinforcements. Because now you can absolutely see why Jadeveon Clowney would bring a lot of value in that the discipline in the run game didn't seem to be there. That's a huge concern. It's one thing to not get to the pass rusher, but like it's another thing to also break down in run defense. You make money in this league doing one of the two. If you're great, you do both. Like you need to, and Ajabo is supposed to be in that pass rush category, but you got to be, serviceable. You can't, unless you want to be Ngakoue, but Ngakoue is fast as lightning. So anyway, all I'm saying is that I wish I would have seen a lot more. I was expecting dominance tonight from David Ajabo, but maybe it's my fault.
Or a flash,
Yeah. Yeah. 3-4 reps nice. Where he just, so a perfect comparison. I thought it was funny that Devin Duvernay was in playing wide receiver.
Yeah.
And then they leave him outside to the right. And he scores the easiest touchdown he'll ever score his entire season.
He goes, look, I'm a starter, guys.
And guess what happened? After that, I saw him on the sideline, pads off. That was it. Right? Yep. Like, oh, yeah. Todd, just so you know, he like looks up at the ball. I can do this.
I'm on that level.
Get me off the field. Like,
yeah. I'm not on
so
this
I was
level.
Expecting something like that from Ajabo. You know what I'm saying? Right, it was just like 1, 2, 3 plays where you're like, oh, all right.
Yeah. 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 Just even if it's just one, just where you go, oh, there it is. That's where it is. I didn't see that, so I am really going to be interested to see how he performs in this upcoming you know, joint practice with the Commanders, which I
think, and like you said, how they react to this, how do the Ravens react to this from a roster standpoint is going to be interesting.
Yeah, because they can say whatever they want in post game pressers, but watch what they do with their roster, and that'll tell you how they really feel about those guys. But all right, let's get into some. Let's see, Ravens O's Nations. Guess what, fellow Ravens fans? I have a fantasy draft coming up with mostly Eagles fans. Trash talk is coming. Hashtag Ravenslock. Absolutely. Let them hear it. Let them know there's a big bad bird in town, and it ain't no eagle. It's a raven. All right. Yeah, let them hear it. But let's get down. Let's keep going through the notes here. All right. I think the next big thing I want to talk about is this backup quarterback, this QB2 battle. To me, I mean, I was kind of surprised to see Josh Johnson get the start and get the entirety of the first half. But I agree. Outside of the back shoulder touchdown pass, the offense just – when Tyler Huntley came in the game, it was like
a shot in the arm, wasn't it?
Yeah, everything moved. To me, Tyler Huntley's legs bring a total dynamic to the game that Josh Johnson has none of. So unless he's so head and shoulders above him as a passer, I don't know how Tyler Huntley loses this competition. Yeah. He looked way better as a thrower.
He was whipping it. I feel like even more than last year, don't you think? Like, I felt like he was really whipping the ball.
And he was hitting guys in stride. Especially what I like to see, we've been talking about a lot. James Lee Wiley says Tyler looked good in Monk's system. Absolutely he did. I loved when I see the running backs catching the ball in stride.
Early in stride. Yeah, all of it. I mean, it was just perfect.
It was beautiful. And let these guys run. I mean, yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear who's the leader right now in the QB2 competition. But I'll also say this. If Tyler Huntley doesn't come out, I expect him to get the start in the next one. If he doesn't come out and continue playing well, Josh Johnson, at least from a statistical standpoint, if you look, 8 of 12, 45 yards and a tutty.
Yeah.
You know, he can at least have a little bit of leg of to stand on. So Tyler has to keep it up.
Well, this is the other thing, too. I think Johnson, in all realities, the Ravens are going to keep a third, right? Because of the emergency QB thing, like that whole.
Yep.
I'm assuming they're going to keep a guy. And, I mean, I don't know what Josh Johnson's prospects are outside of the Ravens. I also don't know, which I'm not saying there's too many teams clamoring for him, but I also don't know what the rules are on behind the QB3. I probably need to like dig into that a little bit. But if he's designated as that guy, I don't know if that makes
another
him
team snatch him
right
away.
Exactly, because it's such a new thing. But
and would he want to be that guy here and not elsewhere?
You know? Right, but he, you know, ultimately, well, I guess what I'm trying to get at is that he could be fighting for that spot with Anthony Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately be in that race. And that's another
Anthony Brown didn't put up much of a fight tonight.
No.
And look, he wasn't playing with the best talent around him, but he also wasn't playing against the best talent. And he went 3 of 8 for 7 yards and a pick.
Yeah.
Pick and 6.
Yeah, that was brutal. The other thing, too, I'll be interested to see that look pretty. I mean, that looked like a hyperextension or a hammy with Tyler, too.
But then he gutted it out, which is kind of surprising. But yeah, I mean,
might have been a little like a pinch, like a don't do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like a little squeak. Yep. Okay, let me pull back a little bit. It's hot out here. I'm sweating a lot. You know, I'm a little light on fluids. Let me not do that.
I rely on the arm for a little while.
Yeah, there you go. Sean Pisker says, just want to note the DR y'all saw on the sideline after Huntley tweaked his leg is who did my knee surgery.
Oh, the doctor.
The doctor.
Dr. Cool. Leanne Curl or something, I think her name is.
She's in all the commercials?
Yeah, exactly.
Like the shorter haircut?
Yep, glasses. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. Okay, you got it from the best of the best then, Sean. You should be out there running. What's your 40 time? You got to back up?
Yeah, dude.
You got to run them down. You got to... you got to keep it moving. But, I hope that Huntley's... you know, doesn't miss too much practice time.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's the chance that Josh Johnson would need, because I think Huntley's got a pretty good lead in that little two-horse race there. All right, I want to also bring up the left guard competition.
Yeah.
Kind of surprised John Simpson gets the start over Saleh.
Mm-hmm.
Saleh, we did see a lot of the second half as well. What were your thoughts on that competition, which you saw from week one?
Yeah, you know, I don't know how many answers I got. Everyone was raving about Saleh, and I thought there were moments where he looked good, but I'll be honest with you. So the holding stunk.
That hurt.
But I was trying to hone in on him a little bit, and once again, against the backup guys, I felt like there was a decent amount of moments where he was just overpowered. Just push back. pushed and pushed. And I get you give, like, you know, part of your job is to keep the guy in front of you, but also you're the interior of that pocket.
You gotta be able to anchor.
Right. Exactly. So, that has me a little concerned. I'm still a little concerned about his power, and I'm a little nervous about him starting week one. And I'll tell you what, just adds to what people were saying earlier. Gosh dang it, Ben Cleveland.
Did you see that video?
What video? Oh, what is that?
It's going around Twitter of him going up against, was it Jalen Carter, the first round pick for the Eagles? Did you see what happened to him? Oh, just go to Twitter, dude, and just type in Ben Cleveland and watch him be absolutely removed from the picture with great haste. I mean, it was not the best look.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, now look, that's a talented guy he's going up against, but
how do you
he's that big. It's like, how do you get moved like that at that size?
Man.
Yeah, he got tossed aside.
And he's at his spot. He's not even at left guard.
No, he's out of that competition.
Yeah, dude, he seems so off balance and like light on his toes. Like, he doesn't even, I don't get it. I don't know. I guess I make it sound easy to play the position, but dude,
but he is so huge. It just makes it hard to believe you can just go like that. Yeah. Even if you're really strong and swat him to the side.
Right. So I feel like there's something off with his footing, right? Like,
yeah, his balance for sure.
Something's going on here. Yeah, that's brutal. Holy crap.
I mean, there's a reason Pat Ricard is they're kicking the tires on him.
Can we talk about that? Because we kind of talked about this on Thursday. I didn't see Pat tonight. Did you? Did I miss something?
No, but he did just return to practice like Monday this week. So
yeah,
maybe,
I guess that's true.
You know, that's a lot to ask to ramp up to gameplay.
I guess that's true. It'll be interesting to see kind of how they, if he does get clock at guard moving forward. I don't know what that whole situation is going to be, but that will definitely be interesting. Could you imagine if Patrick Ricard waltz out there week one as our starting left guard? You imagine that?
That would be so, I mean, you talk about, they need to make a movie about this guy if that happens. And then Seriously. He turns Pro Bowl.
Could you imagine? Yeah, Pro Bowl. Would he be the first one in history to be a, well, no, there's got to be other Pro Bowlers at multiple positions, of course.
Yeah, well, McCaffrey made Pro Bowl at slot receiver and running back in 1 year.
Yeah, and
but
I'm sure there's other guys that have done it at guard, wide receiver. Yeah,
and
to get
fullback,
to go undrafted as a defensive player and then make two Pro Bowl positions
on offense.
On offense,
that would be movie worthy.
Absolutely, but it's sad. No knock on Pat, just based on the fact that he hasn't played that position ever. Like, it's sad that we're there.
Yeah,
kind of scary.
I mean, look, when you think about it, if you look at every other position on the offensive line, Ronnie Stanley, top 10 pick, you know, Linderbaum, first round pick, Moses, first round pick. I mean, all these guys are like studs. And then you got a 6th round pick fighting with, you know, an undrafted D tackle for left guard. Like, what is going on here? Now, I know Simpson is definitely I guess he would be the leader right now, but I don't know, because I wouldn't be shocked to see Sala return back to, you know, first team reps and get the start next week. I think that's maybe just part of the plans. But I'll give Sala a break. He's a rookie. That was his first NFL action. I'm gonna give him a pass, although that holding penalty negated a 15-yard gain. So it was a 25-yard swing on that penalty. You can't have that. But yeah, I'm gonna give him a little bit of a pass. Yeah. It's his first outing.
And the thing about Sala that you can hold your breath on is that he's still learning. He's still growing. Like, there's so much out in front of him in comparison to these other guys that you can build upon and hope for at the very least. You know what I mean?
Let's see here. So, it's just Quan says JK better be at practice tomorrow. And
I got some other notes here.
Which
we can talk about the running back room. Keaton Mitchell.
Keaton Mitchell, I like what I saw from him. He only ends up six carries for 11 yards. I thought he caught the ball nice. He had the one grab for 9. But how surprised were you? And tell me if I'm misreading this, but did Justice Hill get the number one job, like number one duties? Because I saw Justice Hill in the first quarter. I didn't see Gus.
Well, I think that's because Justice is, they're still carving. I think he's fighting for snaps. That's why. I think Gus went out there just to take some hits, you know, get some live reps in the offense. I think totally different reasons in my mind.
But why do we see Justice in the first and we don't see Gus till the second?
Yeah, well, I just think it's because Justice, they're trying to get as many reps as they can. Like, it was first priority, I think, in their minds to say, all right, let's see what Justice can do. Let's give him some time. Let's roll him out there, like simulate this as much as they can for him. And then let's just throw Gus in there to like, just get some sweat and get some hits.
I hear you, but Gus got more touches.
You mean Justice?
No.
Oh, Gus got more touches. Oh,
Gus got more carries and they got the same amount of catches. That's what I'm saying. It's just a little puzzling why Justice was the lead back on the first couple drives, the whole first quarter.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. And then we see so much of Gus in the second. No surprise that we didn't see either in the second half, but that kind of had me a little bit surprised because like, I don't need to see Gus Edwards.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess maybe he catch the ball maybe, but.
So to me, I still think that the reason Gus was out there, cause I think he asked to be out there.
Okay.
Like, I think he wanted, I have no inside opinion, but I think Gus just wanted to get out there and once again, just get a sweat, get some hits. But I think Justice needed to be out there.
Oh, well, like, I tell you, he looked good on that 37-yard run. He had the burst.
Dude, whatever happened last year coming off the Achilles, he finally runs. He runs like a man possessed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the dude, it is kind of funny, though. He gets these choppy feet, and, like, they're so choppy sometimes. I'm like, Justin, just move forward.
Yeah, just get moving.
You can chop your feet four times, not eight. He's like this. Mm-hmm. It's like, dude, are you going to do anything, or are you just going to chop? Like, move. Like, left or right, bro? Come on. Like,
yeah, be more decisive. I thought he looked good. He looked explosive, though. I feel okay about the backs. I thought Melvin Gordon looked good. I mean,
hurdled that dude.
Yeah, he looked fast. Yeah, I thought he looked pretty good. And then of course Keaton Mitchell continues to be a bright spot. I think as a return guy, we saw some really nice things. As a guy who could be leaned on if something were to happen to Devin Duvernay. I still think Keaton Mitchell's path to the NFL this year starts on the practice squad, but that's okay.
Well, I'll tell you what. His life just got a little easier for him after James Proche just botched that punt.
That's true. Now, they have a lot of guys, but I've seen a ton of work for Keaton Mitchell as a kick and punt returner and haven't seen him mess up yet.
I think the thing is the running back is you got to make sure he has the hands like to catch, right. You know what I mean?
Well, first
you got
to
make sure he's got the hands.
But to DK's point that he just had up there,
hell
of a run negated by a penalty, which would have been a long touchdown run. And honestly, I remember the play pretty clearly. I don't think
already
that
out
hold,
the guy.
Yeah, I don't think that hold like is what sprung him. Like I think he was going to score regardless. So I don't really knock the running back there at all. I think that was a heck of a run. So yeah, good point. I still think just with the numbers, the experience, I don't know how Melvin Gordon makes the roster, much less Keaton Mitchell. The only way Melvin makes it is if JK continues all this, you know, that he's got going on. But yeah, I heard that there might be some negotiations, which blows my mind.
I saw that.
But if he just wants security and they can get him for a good price, then hey, why not?
Yeah. Yeah, but I agree. I think one of the bright spots tonight for me was definitely just the backs. Not only the backs themselves, but also everyone's been talking about how excited they are about the passing game. But we saw one of our desires in this game, Glenn, was to see a simple pass, just like you said, in stride to an open back in the open field to see what he could do. And we saw it time and time and time. I don't know how many passes were thrown to the back today, but I felt like more in this game than all of the season last year. And I don't think that's an exaggeration. I bet you it's close. Maybe not.
For sure.
But it. Yeah. So, and also
receptions by the running backs.
Yeah.
In one game. Definitely it broke it. Like, I don't think we never threw it to the running backs. Like,
no. You talking about last year? Yeah. No.
Yeah.
It was
never
ridiculously low. It was only in an emergency and probably only when Tyler Huntley was the quarterback. Certainly not with Lamar. But, So I think the running backs were a bright spot. But people keep talking about in the chat too. You want to talk about Zay? Dude. So Zay did what a Ojabo should have done, I felt like, where like
flashed.
Yeah. Even though he didn't get the ball a ton,
yeah,
he was, you could clearly tell based on the drawn penalties, he was too fast.
Yep.
Too shifty. He was out of the league against the guys he was playing with.
Yeah, you're so right. I mean, the guys were grabbing at him, grabbing his face mask, they're holding on, anything they do to keep him in the vicinity. And even on the play where they tried to get him the ball quick out of the backfield and they throw it to him, yeah, he gets tackled, I think, for a loss. But that first guy had no chance.
Oh, like, my gosh.
No chance of touching him. And that's what you like to see. I mean, look, you're not expecting him to go out there and make four guys miss in a small area. But I like to see him make the first guy miss.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that was, yeah, that's what we've wanted in this type of guy that, like, you know, in Hollywood and things like that, the guy that can make the first one miss. And in a lot of scenarios, I think that during the regular season, if he makes that first guy miss, I don't think there's going to be a horde of people around him. Like, he's going to take that sucker down the field, for a good bit. So yeah, that was exciting to see. I was happy with what I saw from Zay tonight, getting physical, blocking, and just making life difficult for defenders in a lot of different ways, which is exciting because this is the tip of the spear that is on the iceberg. Like, that's how little of what we saw tonight. You know what I mean?
Oh,
in comparison to, like, week 10? Holy crap, going to be a totally different ballgame.
And not just, like, the growth he'll have, but just this offense in general.
All of it, right?
It's going to be...
Him and Lamar's connection.
Yep.
The offense as a whole, him developing into a pro, like, holy crap, it's going to be crazy.
And I'm glad Tariq brings up the cornerback room, because that's where I want to go next. Tariq says, why not put Ardarius in the slot right away? Yeah, Ardarius had a heck of a game. I mean, obviously he had the ended up being the game-winning interception on the two-point conversion attempt after the pick six thrown by Anthony Brown. He was good, man. And that wasn't even his responsibility. He comes off his responsibility to make the interception. I thought he made a case to be that slot guy, or at least be a big time contributor in the slot, whether it's nickel or dime. I think he's going to be a player on this defense, Jimbo.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. So he had the interception, right? And that ultimately is a big play, and you know, that was a big play in saving this game, right? Like, that was huge.
Yep.
He almost had that huge sack. Got a little too excited, right? Ardarius, I think we've said this. We've learned this about Ardarius from other people, from the guy that we had on from TCU, just has a nose for the football. And it seems to ring true every time he's on the field. So I like the way he played tonight. Looked bigger, looked faster, looked more like an NFL
guy.
He did
look bigger, didn't he? Looked taller.
Yeah, I was going to say, he did look a little taller. Yeah, I mean, you know.
That happens when you make plays, man. You look a little taller.
I grew an inch at 21, you know.
There you go. So, in height, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I don't know what other way. I'm just going to leave that one alone.
I think overall, here's what I was happy about with the corners, that none of them got hurt. That was nice to see.
Yeah.
We can't afford any more injuries at the DB position. Craig Fox says, it's always nice seeing that first JT bomb of the year. Absolutely made it look easy.
Oh my gosh. He could have been 10 yards further back. I swear. That had so much distance left on it.
I just love when they show, I just love when they show John Harbaugh on the sideline, and he's just, wow. Just, I mean, because, yeah, it had at least, he could have tied the record again, of course, with that boot, but yeah, man, he's pretty special. He's pretty special. I just hope that in the regular season we stay aggressive. I don't want to see Jordan Stout going out there when there's a 60-yard attempt unless the wind is definitely against him, because this guy is almost money from 62 and in.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, just didn't they say it on the call? Like, just put him in the Hall of Fame now?
Oh, for sure. I mean, come on, man.
Like, can we just make an exception already?
It's like, I mean, it's universally the GOAT. Like, there's not many like things where it's everyone agrees. Yes, that one is the GOAT.
Yeah.
Like, everyone
knows. Even Jordan doesn't have that status.
Right. There's arguments. I mean, especially from the older crowd and then the younger crowd who are the LeBrons.
Yeah.
You know, the LeBron lovers. So
there's a Kobe person in there. You know what I mean? There's a lot of them. So, but this is the thing I'll say about that kick, man. Not really too much more you can say that hasn't been said, but it just makes it look so easy. Just incredible to watch every single
time.
Jordan
shrug after.
Yeah, man. It's just ridiculous. That was cool. I'm not surprised he would do that at home, though. He's got to feel real comfortable kicking at home. I want to talk about.
Hold on, quickly. The corners.
Let's dig into the corners. We were digging in there.
Yeah, I thought it's interesting. Worley, I thought, played really well. He had two sacks. I had a note here. Excellent.
Full-time safety, though.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get into, because it doesn't. Now, I'm sure he can fill in, like a lot of our safeties that play some corner. But how surprised were you to hear that he's strictly getting work as a safety and no traditional cornerback reps this offseason?
Yeah, I thought that was. I mean, Worley's a big guy,
mm-hmm.
so you know I think he's a bit bigger than your typical corner, but it's a totally different position. So I wonder if it was like when guys change positions like this, is it player driven or is it coach driven?
It's probably coach telling you if you want to stay in this league, I think you're losing some top end speed. You might want to see if you can transition to safety, which a lot of corners tend to do if they lose or don't have the speed.
Yeah, but I liked him. I thought it fit him.
Yeah, you got to tackle, and he can tackle.
Yeah, he's a physical guy, certainly for a defensive back. I thought he played well. I was impressed with his conversion that quickly to the position.
Yeah, I think he's – it's just a log jam there, but I could see him kind of maybe turning into that co-cap role.
Wearing the 41 doesn't hurt.
Exactly. That helps.
Yeah.
That helps. But I saw him make a play on special teams too, which kind of really made me think of what's his name now? Co-cap. I see his face.
Yeah, Anthony Levine.
Yeah, there it is, Levine.
Speaking of backs or defensive backs, though, early in the game, I was trying to watch and figure out. I just could not get the name on the back of the jersey, and it happened so fast. Number 5 made a play. I think that was the first kick, wasn't it?
Jalen. That's Jalen Armour.
Was that Armour Davis? I wasn't sure. I figured it was Armour Davis because I didn't think.
That's Treadwell your boy.
Played. Yeah. Hey, man. If he's good, he's good. Like,
hey, man. That's your boy.
But yeah, I mean, I was happy to see that. I didn't see him.
Like, no, I think if it was a special teams play, I think it was Laquan Treadwell.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, DK's saying it was Armour Davis on that.
Was
play.
It? That's weird because he didn't register a statistic.
I don't think he got the tackle.
Oh, okay.
But he was like right there and forced the guy. He was. I mean, it was a really nice play by him. And I was like, all right, okay, cool, let's go. I got another note here I want to talk about if that's cool. Or do you have other DB stuff?
No, I think I guess were you at all surprised to not see Kyle Hamilton? You think he's done enough to where?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I agree.
The other thing I was going to say, so this is more the big boys up front. First of all, I thought it was interesting that Urban was out there playing.
Yes, but at this point, but maybe it's just a numbers game, and like they didn't want to put Brody out there, Metabike,
right?
And just kind of run, and certainly not Michael Pierce.
Yeah, no, definitely not. But I did. Travis Jones, everyone's excited about. I'm excited about as well. He had a tackle for loss.
Yep,
and he had moments tonight where I thought he played well.
Mm-hmm.
I was excited about that. I took that as a note. I thought it was noteworthy.
Yeah, I liked him. Also in the front, I thought there was a nice pop moment from, was it Kelly Sanders? I think is his name. I thought he popped, and then with the nice tackle for loss. And then, Malik Ham. Shout out to Malik, who also took the time to sign my son's football and was very gracious with his time. Also flashed with a nice pass rush. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
But, you know, again, all the horses, all our guys that we're most excited about, they didn't play tonight.
Yeah, except Ajabo.
Yeah,
Asmodeus. Exactly. Asmodeus, the notice says, get your McChickens. Shout out. We appreciate that. Thank you, as always. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I guess from a defensive line standpoint, the guys just weren't there. But it was still exciting to see. Ultimately, how do you feel about the offense?
Oh, hold on. We're real quick call on defense before we switch back to offense.
Oh, okay, cool.
Delshawn Phillips continues to impress. Had 10 total tackles, led the team. And again, in a game I was expecting Josh Ross to kind of come back out and announce himself. Didn't see a lot of Josh Ross.
I thought Josh Ross got that fumble initially. I thought he was the one that hit it. Ended up being Worley.
Yeah, it got credited to Worley. But I think who initially was shaking that loose was Christian Welch. I remember correctly, he was tearing at it. And then I think Worley finished it off. But yeah, Delshawn Phillips, man, look, double-digit tackles. You made 2 picks in training camp. Hey, keep doing your thing, Delshawn, and maybe you might just sneak your way in the back end of this roster.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's always a few guys every year, right? There's always at least one, I feel like. And so, you know, it'd be awesome for him to be the guy, but he's really been showing out and been impressive.
But as far as offense, Jimbo.
Yeah.
This is what you got to like offensively.
Talk about it.
8 of 14 on third down.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta like that. Anytime you're over 50% on third down, that's pretty impressive. And look, they have some work that needs to be done, but I think what we saw tonight was at the very least, a guy who is going to spread the ball around. They talked about that in the telecast. It seemed like, I mean, how many different guys touched the ball? And I think that's not just something that's going to happen because it's preseason. I think that's going to be kind of the story of the season. I don't think we're going to see an overload of one or two guys getting targets or one or two guys. I think they're going to have a healthy rotation in the backfield as well as on the outside as receivers. I don't think we're not going to see the fifth and sixth receiver. I think we're going to see if you're on this roster, you're going to be expected to contribute to it to some degree. So it's exciting. It's got to be exciting as a player because you know that I'm going to make an impact. It might not be as big as an impact as that guy, but at least I know I'm going to have an opportunity to make a play, and it's up to me to make the most of it.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. The spreading around of the ball is exciting because I think it's the only way it works this year. We've got so many guys. It's the only way you get as much as you can out of them, right? Like, we've got to distribute evenly. And if we leave one of these offensive weapons out of a game or two or three or whatever, or the season, as far as like getting them touches and enough, they're all significant enough talents to where it's going to diminish our team as a whole, right? Like you got to get them all involved and create an edge there. DK is shouting at us in the private chat here.
Yeah, man.
To talk about Vokalek. And that's a great point.
Talk about all the pass catchers.
Yeah, well, the one thing I'll say about Vokalek is that he might be the reason that Patrick Ricard is trying out now for offensive line, right? Because he was already a blocking guy anyway. And that catch he had, was the route was crisp. The catch was nice.
Yep.
It was a great ball as well. But I thought he played really well tonight. And certainly we know what he can do as a blocker. I mean, that's been his MO since day one.
Yeah, I thought he had a strong performance tonight. I mean, obviously, really, really good throw to him. So he made that. Yeah, he did what he was supposed to do and catch a beautiful throw. But yeah, he played well. I thought there was a nice, strong hands catch by Isaiah Likely. And the one time I really saw him get involved in the offense on the left sideline, Charlie Kohler had two catches. I think some people were disappointed in Charlie, but he only had two targets. He caught both that came his way. So I'm not really disappointed. I think as a pass catcher, you got to give a lot of credit to Tylan Wallace. All hands on that catch, like not bring it to the body. Strong hands. Love the move. Devin Duvernay, like you said, it's like he comes in like the closer. Just, all right, we got to get in here. Can we get like a guy who's done it? And Devin just grabs his helmet, goes out there, and makes a beautiful catch. Laquon Treadwell, I would have liked to see him. I think there was one target. I think he could have he had an opportunity to make a little bit better play on the ball.
Yeah.
But to me, honestly, outside of Sean Ryan, I didn't see enough involvement to the wide receiving core. I mean, that I know that they like to spread the ball around, but man, I would have liked to seen a little bit more targets go around to the receivers, like two to Tylan.
Yeah.
You got one to Duvernay, three to Laquon, one to Black, Demas, Shamar Bridges. They all got one. I just want to see some more competition because these guys are fighting for like one or two spots.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And hopefully we see more of that in game two and three, but there's still a lot of questions ultimately at the position. I think if I had to give it to a guy as far as the last, like, well, if they keep six, the sixth guy.
Yeah.
And that, I think that is crazy how this works, but that catch with Tylan really, really does a lot to kind of push him forward. If you watch that play, the ball didn't even touch the ground. It was so smooth. Mm-hmm. Ball didn't touch the ground.
Didn't touch his body.
Yeah, it was just like you said, all hands catch, just really nice snag. And I think it gives him a lot of momentum and opportunity. Now, let me ask you this. You transition into the second game.
Yeah.
Are you expecting more a smaller distribution of the football and more concentration on specific guys? Like now with these guys that stepped up in game one, or, you know what I mean? Are they going to start taking a serious look at, instead of eight guys, four guys? You see what I'm saying? Like as they start to get more strategic about who they want to see?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think if the offense had been here for a while and these guys had been in it, maybe they could start to get more nuanced and focus on specific things.
Right.
But I think with installing a new offense, they're probably just going to continue to hammer that away, just to stay within the system. You know, try not to get too outside of it, trying to do too much. But yeah, I'd like to see them at least target and give opportunities to guys. Like, what was frustrating to me is, and it could be on the quarterback, Josh Johnson. There's a couple of plays where he just throws the ball. He gives no opportunity for his receiver to make a play, specifically on an offsides. If there's an offsides and they, you know, they don't blow it dead typically unless there's contact made or you come free to the quarterback, that's a free play. Throw the ball up and give your guy a chance. It just drives me crazy how these quarterbacks are too safe with the ball, and that's why you end up being, you know, a kind of a career backup, because you're too scared to take any chances or give your guys an opportunity. I want to see in the preseason, give your guys an opportunity to make plays, man, especially these big red zone targets. Throw it up. Let them go get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's absolutely true. It's frustrating to watch Josh Johnson.
I'm not a Josh Johnson guy.
No, it's really frustrating. There's no...
Takes the easy way out every time.
Mm-hmm. It's a bummer. And I'm sure it's been beat into him to do that. You know what I mean? Just over and over and over again. So this is the real question, the most important question of the night. First of all, shout out to Evan Washburn. Killed it tonight. Always does. Of course. Big fan of the show. He's a big supporter of us. Did he get the tips dyed? Did he get the tips frosted?
Oh, they were frosted. But he didn't have as deep and dark of a tan as I'm used to, you know? He toned it back a little bit. But, yeah, he looked good. Obviously, I tell you what, though. I see these player interviews on the sideline, and I just go, don't you think they get tired of hearing the same flipping question? Like, Ajabo's interview, same questions over again. I mean, Odafe, about Ajabo. Yeah. When'd you guys meet? Who started? Yeah, like the same questions over and over. Same with Lamar. It's like, you'd like to see a little more creativity instead of the same damn regurgitated questions.
Yeah, well, while we're waiting for a media pass.
Yeah, and I guess their thinking is everyone has seen those interviews.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. Something funny, speaking of Ravens media, who's the girl? Cassidy, is that her name?
Huh?
She works for Ravens Media, Cassidy?
Yeah, I believe. Oh, Cassie.
Cassie is how it is. Anyway, saw her and her husband at the Verde, the pizza spot that's just right down the road from us on Friday.
Yeah.
She was just hanging out at the pizza spot.
Did you go up and book her?
Nope.
On the show?
Nope.
What's the matter with you, man?
Nope, I didn't.
What's wrong with you? Dude, I tell you, that guy Cleveland, I think his name was. I think it was Cleveland. The guy, the receiver on the Eagles that had hair hanging out of the back, who kept jumping up and going to get it on the sidelines. That guy was making some plays, man.
Made himself some money tonight, didn't he?
Yeah, he was pissing me off a little bit. I'm like, he's pissing me off a little bit. I didn't like it, dude. He was making a little bit too many plays. But who would you say has to have the biggest bounce back after this game? Heading into next week, is there a guy that you go, man, he's got
to
play?
Ajabo's got to do something to me.
I think so?
I don't know if he's my biggest one, though. Well, I think it might be at the offensive line. I think it comes down to, like, Saleh's got to take a step. He's got to take a step, right? I'm trying to think if I think another position would be DB. But I don't know who all of them need to there. So I don't know if I can point out a specific guy. I would say Saleh. I can't believe I think he's working on borrowed time, but guy needs to make a big comeback is James Brochet, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Now watch James go out there and get three touchdowns, play out of his mind. Cause that would be typical James Brochet. Like,
no, there's nothing typical about James Brochet catching touchdowns.
That's true. That's fair.
Not in this league. That's for damn sure. Ugh, yeah. I want to see David Ajabo big time. Yeah. I think, I mean, he's
show out. Show something, man. Something.
He's got to show us something. I mean, come on. But as far as on the defensive side of the ball, there wasn't anybody who played that I was like super excited to see and then disappointed me. Not that I can recall off the top of my head, other than Ajabo, of course. But offensively, I want to see someone in the receiver position make a play that kind of like makes you take notice. I think we saw Devin Duvernay do that tonight. Do you think we'll see Devin Duvernay in the next one?
I don't think so. Do you?
It's like, what do we need to see from Devin? I think we have a pretty good feel for what he's going to bring. So if Tylan Wallace can stack another good game, man, that would be big time. But if not, does he let the door squeak open a little bit for a guy like James Prochet or Laquan Treadwell, who only turned three targets into just one catch? But he's certainly fighting for a job as well.
Yeah, and then DK said he wants to see more of Tavius Robinson. Didn't register a tackle tonight. I saw him take a couple of bad angles on outside plays and struggle, similar to the way Jabo was with kind of sealing the edge. But when because their quarterbacks ran a lot tonight, and when they did, I saw him take a couple pretty poor angles. That he's got the speed, but he's making himself work harder.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you take a bad angle. Like, if you just took a good angle, you beat the guy to the spot. But you just, you know, so I agree with DK. He, this is the thing I will say, though. I mean, his athleticism jumps off the screen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you just watch him for a few plays, the motor, the athleticism, the strength, he's definitely got all that. But a little bit upstairs, he needs to work on just playing smarter, not harder. Like, don't work harder, work a little smarter. You know, and so that's a good one.
He's
as well.
A raw talent for sure.
Yeah. So, well, I that's all of the notes I had. You got any more? I'm sure you probably got more, is my guess. No?
No, I think we pretty much touched.
Glenn takes detailed notes.
I do take a lot of notes.
Yeah. I usually take detailed notes for the first three quarters, and then by the fourth quarter, it's all shorthand.
Yeah, you peter off a little bit.
Yeah.
I think we got, I thought Malik Harrison started the game.
Oh, yeah, I had that too. You're right. Yeah.
You know, had
a sack, had two tackles in the same drive.
Yep. Yeah. I just think he's just behind. He's playing at a time that it's a little too late. Like he belonged back in the 90s, this guy, to play inside linebacker. Yeah. It's like he's just at a weird time in, you know, he's like a big ass inside linebacker to me.
Yeah.
And that just doesn't fit nowadays.
Yeah. That's true.
But, yeah, I think that's it for us tonight. But we will be back soon. Thank goodness.
Yeah, we'll see you on Tuesday.
The Ravens escaped. It looks like healthy outside of maybe a couple of nicks.
John said even Tyler's thing is not an injury, is what he's not classified as an injury.
So, knocking on wood. This week's a big one. They got the Commanders coming into town to join them in practice at one winning drive and then follow that with the game, of course, next week. So, be on the lookout. We're going to, I'm sure, be having some news. I think there will be some transactions in the coming days.
Yep.
So keep, you know, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, and we will keep you up to date on all the news. And I hope you all have a good night.
See ya.